We are engaged in a critically important process here at Sunset. It's a process that we have only been engaged in a handful of times in the history of this congregation, which was established back in 1986. And that is the selection of new elders to serve as the overseers of this flock. Last Sunday, Dwight preached Sunday morning and began a three-part series on leadership as we go through this selection process. Sheets were made available, and many of you picked up one of those sheets. There are some more on the table. I believe we're going to have an announcement about the ongoing process this morning. In Scripture, this process of elder selection, and I know some of you have been through this before, either here at Sunset or in different congregations, it's not spelled out in great, minute detail. In the early missionary churches, we read that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders with prayer and with fasting. We read about that in Acts chapter 14. We do have an example of leadership selection in the early church with what appears to be the first group of deacons who were selected in the Jerusalem church. There in Acts chapter 6, we read these words, "Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." Beyond these references, we don't find a lot of detailed guidelines on how this process is to be done. So our elders, as we realize the need for additional elders here, have asked this church family, this congregation, to do what the early church did as they began the process of selecting deacons on that occasion, and that is choose men from among ourselves who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, men who closely approximate that list of qualities that we read about in 1 Timothy and also in Titus. We know that no man is perfect, and no man can fulfill in every aspect all of these qualities that we read about. And so we always encourage people to recognize the humanity of all those who lead this church and find those who most closely approximate these qualities. And let me just read through them again. An elder must, and we've listed them, desire the task, be above reproach, be the husband of but one wife, be temperate, be self-controlled, be respectable, be hospitable, be able to teach, be gentle, manage his family well, have believing children, have a good reputation with outsiders, love what is good, be upright, be holy, be disciplined, and then must not be given to much wine, be violent, be quarrelsome, be a lover of money, be overbearing, be quick-tempered, or be a recent convert. And I know many of you have already picked up one of these sheets and you've prayerfully considered those who might be suggested as leaders of this congregation. I simply want to make this morning in my lesson two points as we are engaged in the midst of this process. Number one is this: leadership in the church is very, very different from the leadership that we see in the world. We're already beginning to get sneak previews of the election process that will soon be upon us in our nation as we will be going to the polls to select a new president. The nominating committee of either the Democratic or the Republican parties would hardly have chosen the kind of leaders that we see God choosing repeatedly to lead his people throughout history. Who would have chosen a young man tending sheep to be the leader of Israel. Yet, that is where God went to find the young man who would slay the giant and eventually be the greatest leader that Israel ever knew. The British High Command would never have considered an 80-year-old failure to lead their North African desert offensive against Rommel in World War II. Yet God told this old man Moses that he was the one that God had selected to lead the children of Israel through those many years of rugged desert wandering. Apple computers would hardly staff their boardroom with the likes of those 12 men who were hand-picked by Jesus to lead in the kingdom that he was going to establish. And so let me say it again. As we think of leadership in the church, don't think of CEOs of companies. Don't think of people who have position and power and wealth as the criteria for leadership in the church. Leadership in the church is very different from leadership in the world. Consider the unlikely leaders that God did choose. Moses, who by his own confession was not a good public speaker. Barnabas, who was a quitter on that missionary journey. Peter, a man who led with his heart rather than always thinking things through. Yet these men, with all their flaws, were chosen by God and became powerful leaders in the early church. God's list of leaders is so different from the leaders we see in this world because God has a different criteria in mind than what we typically do in the world. That criteria is most clearly seen in the statement of Jesus recorded in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. There Jesus said this, "Whoever wants to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all." The kind of leadership that God has always wanted can be described in those very words as servant leadership. Leadership that does not dictate from above, but that serves from below. Headstrong Peter learned this lesson well, and he had a lot of rough edges. But later on, when he finally, as a mature servant of God, penned the words in his two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter, he would write explaining that not only was he an apostle, but that he also had the privilege of serving as an elder later in his life. And he writes there in 1 Peter 5, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder." And so, at some point, Peter had begun to serve as a shepherd in one of the congregations. And he learned that God always seeks servant leaders. And so, one of the things he wrote to his fellow elders there in 1 Peter 5, he said, "Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Even this man had learned that process in his own life. So as you reflect and as you pray, and I hope every one of you are giving quantity time in your private prayers to this process of elder selection, even as you fast over this decision, as we go through this process of elder selection, I hope that you'll reflect on this list of qualities that we have here before us, but think also of the kind of leadership that God has always required, and that is servant leadership, that we find men who have servant hearts to lead this congregation. Now, the second point, and this is going to be a shorter sermon because it only has two points today. The second point is simply this: the process of elder selection is bigger than any one of us. And by that I mean that there is something going on beyond just a physical process within a group of people. It's been said that the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. And this process of elder selection didn't start just 2 weeks ago when our elders stood before us and said, it's time to select, we need help, we need to have additional men working with us in this. That process didn't just begin 2 weeks ago when that announcement was first made. God has been at work for years, perhaps even from childhood, in the training, in the equipping, in the preparing of those who will step into positions of leadership in this congregation here immediately and in years to come. There are going to be names that will be submitted to our elders for consideration. And these names will be those who have been being prepared by God Himself through His Holy Spirit. David could not have possibly known, as he spent all those nights out there on the Judean hills watching over his sheep, as he fought off lions and bears with his slingshot in order to protect those sheep, that very act of caring for that physical flock of little animals, sheep, would one day prepare him to care for the flock of God's people that would be entrusted into his hands. Moses couldn't have imagined, as he left Egypt feeling a failure and began to care for flocks in the wilderness for the next 40 years, could not have possibly known that very act of living in the wilderness and learning how to survive out there and care for the flock that he was caring for would prepare him for 40 future years of leading the people of God through the same kind of desert conditions. Now, over these next weeks, there are going to be several names that will come up. I know there are possibly men sitting here this morning who have already had someone come up to them and say, you know, I'm thinking about putting your name down. Would you consider serving as an elder? There will be those who will be contacted by our elders, and our elders will say, we'd like to invite you to come in and meet with us and talk about the possibility of your consideration of serving as a shepherd of this congregation. But what I'm afraid sometimes we're not conscious of, at least to the degree we should be, is that God might have been the one who has been preparing these individuals for this very moment. And I believe that God has allowed certain men in this congregation to go through struggles and to go through experiences and go through difficulties even that uniquely have equipped them to serve the needs of this congregation in just the same way that David was prepared in his day and Moses was prepared in his day. God prepared Esther as a beautiful young lady who became the queen of the land to serve in the gap at a critical moment in Israel's history. And her kinsman Mordecai, when she was called upon to step forward and to do so with some risk, said to her, "Who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this?" Read again that passage. It's here on the screen that was read at the beginning. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Now, this process is a larger process than I think we sometimes imagine. It's not just a matter of sitting down and going through the directory and saying, well, I think this fellow would be a good elder, or I think that fellow would be a good elder. It's not just a matter of our current elders having a meeting with some men whose names have been submitted. This process in which we are engaged is nothing less than the work of the Holy Spirit among God's people at this time in our history. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's not just that you're voted in by a group of people. It's not that you're just passed by a group of existing elders. It's that the Holy Spirit has prepared and equipped and made possible the opportunity that will now be placed before a group of men in this church family. I know it's a frightening prospect for many, and it should be to some degree. I wish that all those men who might be asked to serve in this role had opportunity to sit in some elders' meetings. I know some of you maybe have had that opportunity. The elders here at Sunset typically invite the staff to be part of the elders' meetings unless there are confidential matters, and then they'll ask us to leave. But to see these men work, I think it would ease the minds of some prospective elders to be in those meetings and to see how the work is discussed and the prayers that are prayed and the things that are done, and that it is a doable job. I wish that some of you could maybe talk to previous elders who've served in that capacity. It is a daunting task, but those whom God calls, He always equips. And it's never something that one man has to stand and do alone. It's a team process. And God in His wisdom saw that leaders in the church are a plurality, and they work together in this capacity, and that there are those they can call on. There are those who are deacons in our congregation. There are others, men and women in the congregation, who are always willing to step up and help. So it's not a solitary responsibility. It's a team response in the leadership of the congregation. So this morning, secondly, my aim is to challenge some men in this congregation, and not just the men, but their families, because no man serves without the support and the backing and the help of a godly wife, and often children that also are part of the whole process. And I don't even know for sure whose names are going to come up in this process. But there are some here who will soon be contacted by our elders, and they'll be told that their name has been submitted by a number of people in this congregation that see them as leaders, men that they would be willing to follow and submit their lives to. And as such, this group will be invited to meet with our existing elders and to talk about the possibility of serving. And if that happens, this is my prayer and my hope. I just pray that those who are invited will consider the very real possibility that this call is more than just a popular vote, that this invitation to serve is more than just our group of elders expressing confidence in you. My prayer is that this invitation will be seen as God who is calling you through His Holy Spirit to do a job that He has already prepared and equipped you to do. As we continue this process, I want us to all be prayerful, and I want to lead us now in a prayer asking God's blessing upon the continuation of this process. If you have not already been a participant in this through prayer and through taking one of these sheets, I hope that you'll do that so that you can be a part of the process that God is bringing about for the future leadership of this church. Pray with me, if you will, at this time. Father, we acknowledge that what we have read in Scripture is true, that it is your Holy Spirit who is involved in making these men overseers who now serve and those who will serve be placed in that position of responsibility. And Father, as your people here, we're excited about this prospect, and we pray that our existing elders will receive willing responses from men who will step in beside them and will help serve this congregation. And Father, we don't want anything to hinder our growth and our progress, and we know that there are many components that are necessary for our future growth as a church. And Father, we are grateful for those who have stepped forward in whatever capacity, for those who have served in various ministries, for those who are currently teaching, for those that are serving behind the scenes. But Father, we know that it is absolutely essential that any church that approximates the kind of goals you have for us needs good, godly leadership. And so, Father, we pray that you will raise men up and that our progress will not be hindered because of a lack of leadership. Father, thank you for the preparation that you've already made in the lives of many of these men, and we pray that you'll be with our future elders as they step in to help lead this congregation as well. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we want to always offer an opportunity for any who are here to request prayer. We frequently here at Sunset have people who express a need for prayer, and I'm grateful that there is a comfort in that, because it can be difficult at times when you're needing prayer to acknowledge that before a group of this size. But any of you who've done that know the wonderful feeling of being prayed for specifically by one of our elders here. And you know the feeling of support that you get when you come down here and sit at the front and have other members who will come and sit around you as you're prayed for. If that's your need this morning, or if you need to respond in obedience to the gospel, we've had three baptisms this past week, and we rejoice over that. If there's anyone here today who is ready to respond in faith and obedience to Jesus Christ, to be born again of water and the Spirit, we will pause right now and see that that's done. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.